In every film, there are minor characters that change the course of the story. Our mission is to explore those characters and give them stories of their own. This is BCD Presents No Small Parts. Agnes grew up in a house that held pain. She could feel it. There was an emptiness, a hopelessness that lingered behind its many corners, waiting. Her parents didn't feel it. Her sister Ruth didn't notice. It was a certain kind of longing, a pain that felt so familiar yet so sinister. She would lie awake at night, listening to the creaking floors and scratches of the mice, trying to understand what the feeling was. Until the morning came, and Agnes opened her eyes to a house as silent and still as death itself, did she finally understand. Hunger, she thought, as the police searched the house for her beloved sister. The house was hungry. And it didn't stop there. The house stole Ruth, along with the happiness of her family. All of that potential joy, all of the tomorrows and some days, were sucked out of their lives like crumbs into a vacuum. A year passed, then 10, then 50, and Agnes never forgot. She held tight to every detail, every moment she shared with Ruth before she was taken. Agnes would wince, tears welling up in her eyes when she remembered hearing her sister's slippers on the hard floor. "Please don't go," Agnes whispered as she listened to the sound of Ruth shutting the door on her life. Agnes woke to the sound of tapping. Lying awake, she stared out into the darkness of her drafty room. After several long moments spent listening to the creak of her floorboards, she glanced up at her window and blamed the sound on the rain. She reached over and turned on her lamp. The soft yellow glow filled her small empty room. Agnes slowly glanced around until her eyes rested on the large cedar chest in the corner, its lock seemingly untouched. She sighed quietly and checked her watch on the bedside table. Pulling back her blankets, she pushed herself out of bed, fighting the weight of her many years. Agnes shuffled to the mirror, staring deep into her own eyes and imagining they were someone else's. "Well, Ruth, this is what we look like as an old woman. It's not pretty, but there you have it," Agnes spoke to her mirrored self. "Grandma?" Agnes jumped slightly at the sound of a tired voice from the other side of her bedroom door. She pushed it open to see her grandson, wiping his eyes. "And what are you doing up this early, sleepy bear?" Agnes's grandson furrowed his brow. "I'm too old for nicknames. And I heard you get up. Are you okay?" Agnes was startled by her grandson's response. I thought I felt something in the air. It woke me up, that's all. Let's get the day started. That new couple will be here soon." The two of them walked down to breakfast, Agnes leaning on her grandson more than she would have liked. He held her steady as they made their way around the bend. As they sat down to breakfast, there was a sense of anticipation in the air. Agnes looked up from her oatmeal to see her grandson looking at her with a worried expression. Agnes set her spoon down. Her grandson shifted in his chair and meekly asked, "Were you... talking to Aunt Ruth this morning? In the mirror? Agnes felt her face soften. She should be angry that he was spying. He continued, "You know that she isn't really in the mirror, right?" Agnes smiled. Her grandson was sweet and timid, not unlike herself as a child. There was a danger nearby, a sense of dread that had never left her home since the day that Ruth disappeared. No one else seemed to feel it except Agnes and this anxious child that sat across from her. They never spoke about it, not directly. Almost as if speaking of it in the open air might breathe life into a nightmare. This exchange wasn't about him checking on the mental state of his grandmother. He was asking for a reaffirmation, a comforting chuckle, and a pat on the back. "Of course not," he longed to hear. "Ruth was my twin," Agnes said softly. "So for me, the mirror is where she lives." Agnes knew her sister for only 8 years. But during those years, they spent every moment together. They were identical in appearance, but not in spirit. Ruth was rambunctious and unruly. Between the two girls, she was the one most often in trouble. Ruth had a wild imagination and a knack for telling stories. Agnes was quiet, more reserved, but she would always stand up for her sister. When their parents punished Ruth, Agnes was right there by her side. "It's what sisters do," Agnes would say. "When you're in pain, so am I." Ruth was often unhappy. She would act out, and her behavior led to hours standing in the corner or early bedtimes with empty tummies. No one seemed to understand why she acted this way, except Agnes. "It's the house," Agnes would explain to her parents. "It's the house," she told the police after Ruth was gone. Losing Ruth destroyed her family. Relatives from all over came to call, offering advice about where to look and what to do next. "Children run away," they reasoned. "She'll come back." Well-meaning friends urged Agnes's parents to move away and leave the sadness behind them. But Agnes begged to stay. She could feel Ruth's energy nearby, an echo of her sister's spirit lingering in the walls. Agnes could never leave her sister behind. So, she and her parents came to an agreement. They would live nearby and rent the house out as extra income. "It's such a beautiful home. Why don't you live there yourself?" the tenants would ask. Agnes's father would only smile sadly and hand over the keys. If Agnes's parents had their way, they would never step inside that house again. When Agnes was in her 20s, she and her husband James took over the business. James breathed new life into the place. His idea was to split the house into several apartments and cover it with a fresh coat of paint. He did everything he could to wash out the suffering. He succeeded, at least for the tenants. As decades passed, local stories of the missing girl faded from the town's memory. By the time Agnes was a grandmother, no one living in her house even knew Ruth's name. Agnes pulled back the kitchen curtain, spying on the movers as they deposited a new family's possessions into the shell of an apartment. After several decades, she thought she would eventually get used to the strangers living within the walls of her childhood home. But somehow, each moving day filled her with the same strange dread as always. Suddenly, Agnes saw something that made her heart beat so quickly that her chest began to burn. She grabbed the sink for support, taking deep breaths and shutting her eyes tightly. It can't be. Did I forget to tell them? I am more forgetful these days. After several minutes, Agnes gained her composure. Daring to look out the window again, she saw what she had feared. The new tenants had brought with them a child.
It'll be fine,
Agnes tried to calm herself. It was so many years ago. Still, a shiver came over her as she imagined a child sleeping in her and Ruth's room again. No child had lived in that house since Agnes took her final steps over the threshold as a young girl. When Agnes told her parents that the house made Ruth disappear, they brushed it off. At least, they did when Agnes was still in the room. But when it came time to rent out the building, they made the rule that no children were permitted, in honor of Ruth, and possibly in fear that Agnes's theory was more than the hysterical rambling of a grief-stricken little girl. When the clock rang in the late afternoon, Agnes called her grandson in for dinner. She tried to remain relaxed, but her hands began to shake as she scooped potatoes onto his plate.
"Oh, Grandma, I got it!"
her grandson exclaimed, grabbing the bowl. Agnes sighed and took a seat at the table.
"I met the new tenants today. Well, one of them anyway," he said, scooping green beans on Agnes's plate. "You didn't go inside, did you?"
Agnes asked sharply, glaring in her grandson's direction.
"I know the rule, Grandma. But I thought it was weird that you let a kid live there."
Agnes was silent.
"Grandma, are you okay?"
Agnes's grandson set down the food and grabbed her hand.
"I'm sure Ruth won't mind someone new sleeping in her room," he said quietly.
Agnes gave him a weak smile and kissed him on the forehead. Dinner was quiet, mostly the sounds of silverware scraping plates. Agnes decided she was too tired to wash dishes and left it for the morning.
"It'll be fine," she told her surprised grandson.
"It'll be fine." Agnes felt a heaviness that increased with each day. At night, when she closed her eyes, Agnes almost felt as if she were lying in the same room she slept in as a child. Somehow, the pain had breached the walls of her childhood home and reached across to find her. Agnes and Ruth did everything together. Well, almost everything. For years, they were each other's shadows, pulling each other into their games and braiding each other's hair. But one day, Ruth woke up with a strangeness, an otherness that Agnes couldn't explain. Her eyes had shadows of experience that Agnes didn't recognize. Agnes tried to get Ruth to share with her, play with her, as they had always done. But Agnes could feel her slipping away.
"We don't have to do everything together," Ruth would say,
and Agnes shied away. And when Ruth was gone, Agnes almost believed what the adult said to be true, that she had simply run off and would find her way back home soon. That was until Agnes found Ruth's favorite toy. Agnes opened her eyes and sat up sharply in bed. She hadn't slept well in several nights, but tonight proved especially challenging. She could feel so much fear, so much dread, and she wanted some comfort that she was overreacting.
"The doll," Agnes remembered. "It's the only thing I have left of Ruth."
Agnes turned on her lamp and walked over to her cedar chest. She grabbed the key from her sock drawer and unlocked it. Agnes slowly pulled out her possessions, peeling back several decades of memories. But as she reached the bottom, she became more frantic. The doll, the only thing left of her sister, was gone. Hysterical, Agnes cried out. Her grandson was at her side immediately.
"What happened to the doll?"
Agnes yelled, her eyes pleading.
I was going through your chest the other day, and..." her grandson stuttered. It looked just like the new tenant girl, so I thought she should have it."
Agnes stepped backward, and in an almost whisper, she said,
"What are you talking about? The doll in this chest doesn't look like the neighbor girl. It looks like Ruth."
Agnes's grandson stared blankly at his grandma. Agnes continued,
"You have to get it back."
Tears were starting to well up in her eyes.
"I don't know what's happening to that little girl, but it's not good. That house is not good. Tomorrow, you're asking for the doll back, and maybe everything will be okay."
"Grandma, I'm sorry I went through your things, but I'm sure everything will be okay, right?"
Agnes sat on her bed and looked at her grandson.
"Do you know what happened to Ruth?"
she asked, tears streaming down her face. Her grandson sat down beside her.
"They told me she ran away," Agnes continued. "But the doll, it was a strange doll, and she took it everywhere. She wouldn't even let me hold it. She loved that doll. So why did she leave it behind?"
Agnes's grandson gave her a hug.
"I'll get it back tomorrow. I promise."
But he didn't. By the time he made it over to the house, the little girl that lived there couldn't find the doll. What she did give him were stories. Strange tales that sounded like lies about another world. Lies that Agnes had heard before. When he returned to his grandmother empty-handed, Agnes's dread was at its peak.
"Why, Bourne?" she said quietly.
Her grandson straightened up at the use of his full name.
"I found this photo while you were talking to the tenant girl."
She walked over and carefully handed him a faded photo of Agnes and Ruth as girls. Wybie's eyes widened when he saw Ruth holding a doll that looked exactly like her. The photo was the final piece of an incomprehensible puzzle. The evidence that his new friend wasn't lying to him and that she was in terrible danger. He rushed out of the house, leaving his startled grandmother behind him. You see, Agnes's worst fears had become a reality. Whatever darkness swallowed up her sister was still there, waiting for its next meal. And although the young girl next door evaded its grasp, she wouldn't have been able to do so without the help of Agnes's grandson, Wybie. Agnes knew something had happened to her sister. She knew that there was more to her house than a bad feeling. And because she was able to warn her grandson, he was there to help make sure that no child would ever be stolen by that hunger ever again. So as you can see, in the movie Coraline, there are no small parts.